This is a little bit different topic than I normally cover in my work, but I'm excited to talk to you about a project we conducted entitled Can Early Childhood Lifestyle Factors Explain the Relationship We See Between Breastfeeding and Obesity Risk? And I have no financial relationships to disclose. And as the prevalence of overweight and obesity has increased in our young children, and given the fact that obesity in young childhood is strongly predictive of obesity and overweight later in life, researchers have become interested in early determinants of childhood overweight. One such determinant may be breastfeeding and infant feeding practices. Recent meta-analyses have shown a dose-response relationship between breastfeeding and childhood overweight. Researchers aren't exactly clear why that we see this relationship. It could possibly be due to the composition of breast milk and formula. Satiety hormones in breast milk possibly program the hypothalamus to both regulate the way fat is deposited within the body, but or also formula has been considered to possibly contain more protein than the infant needs, leading to rapid early growth and later obesity. Another possible hypothesis is that breastfed children are able to regulate or self-regulate intake better compared to the bottle-fed child. Now, research on this issue had conflicting results, and many of the studies actually report or collect breastfeeding exposure retrospectively, which can introduce bias. Also, there's variation among populations in infant feeding patterns across regions and cohorts. Many of studies are actually conducted in European samples, and U.S. Studies, not necessarily nationally representative, are from older cohorts or lack a complete set of demographic and maternal controls that we know we should be controlling for when looking at these factors. Also, a recent study article talked about how we also may have confounding by early nutrition behaviors, which are rarely collected in many of published literature and studies, data sets reported on. So some of this early possibility for confounding that might exist is one in the timing of introduction to solid foods, and also nutrition and sedentary behaviors, which may be correlated with breastfeeding practices as well. So mothers who choose to breastfeed may also provide a healthier diet later in life, and that might be driving the relationship we see. So we set out to assess the relationship between infant feeding and obesity in kindergarten, controlling for both early introduction of complementary foods as well as preschool nutrition and TV screen time behaviors. And we used the early childhood longitudinal study, specifically the birth cohort, which was initiated with over 10,000 children. It's representative of the U.S. population born in 2001 and includes data from birth certificates and then prospective follow-up at 9 months, 2 years, preschool, and kindergarten. For our analyses, our sample was diminished, because not all of the children participated in kindergarten. We then excluded twins from the analysis, children born with very low birth weight, BMI outliers at kindergarten, children who are underweight in kindergarten, and then any child who's missing any of our covariates of interest. And our dependent variable was BMI obesity calculated with the CDC 2000 growth charts. And as you can see in this population, 17% were obese in kindergarten. And our main independent variables of interest were breastfeeding, which we classified into three levels, exclusively breastfed for the first 4 months of life, mixed feeding, and exclusively formula fed in the first 4 months. Then complementary feeding was dichotomized into early, so the introduction of anything other than formula and breast milk in the first 4 months of life, or what we deemed appropriate, so after 4 months. Next, we had childhood nutrition and screen time variables, which were collected during the preschool wave, We have estimates of daily consumption of fruits and vegetables, fast food, salty and sweet snacks, milk, 100% juice, and sugar-sweetened beverages, so which included juice drinks, soda, and sports drinks. We also have had reports of daily hours of weekday TV screen time from both childcare providers and parents. And all of our models we included controls for gender, child's race, ethnicity, birth weight, SES, which was a composite of mother's and father's education, occupation and income, as well as maternal age and age squared, pre-pregnancy BMI, and maternal smoking during the third trimester of pregnancy. So all of our controls of interest were significantly related to breastfeeding, but I'm just going to show a couple of bar charts to highlight the difference in the practice by some of these variables of interest. So following the yellow bars across, we see that exclusive breastfeeding in the first 4 months of life is most prevalent in whites and Asians and least prevalent in blacks. And also exclusive formula feeding in gray is most prevalent in African Americans, and mixed feeding is most prevalent in Latinos. Also by SES, you see a gradient here as well. As SES increases, the prevalence of exclusive breastfeeding increases. And also by mother's BMI, we see that underweight mothers and obese mothers, self-reported in pre-pregnancy BMI, have the lowest prevalence of exclusive breastfeeding. And for our first one of our main variables of interest, complementary feeding or introduction of solid foods, we see that those who introduce complementary foods early also have a lower prevalence of exclusive breastfeeding. Next, our next factor of interest is in preschool and lifestyle habits. So in preschool nutrition, of all of the variables that we had available to us, we found that consumption of 100% juice, fast food, sugar-sweetened beverages, and sugary and salty snacks were significantly related to infant feeding, as well as weekday TV time. So those were all included going forward in our models. And to construct our models, we use logistic regression predicting obesity again in kindergarten. First, I'll present unadjusted results, adjusted for the controls of interest, then complementary feeding and nutrition and screen time. In the first set of models, I'll include everyone, but then we'll later stratify by race ethnicity because we found a significant interaction between race ethnicity and infant feeding. First, I'll present predicted probabilities and then odds ratios. And in all models, the reference group is the exclusive formula-fed group. So we see, using counterfactual analyses after running our logistic regression models, that the prevalence of obesity, if everyone were to exclusively breastfeed for the first 4 months of life, is significantly lower than if everyone were to exclusively formula feed. After adjusting for controls, this relationship is attenuated slightly, but after including introduction of complementary foods and preschool lifestyle factors, the relationship doesn't attenuate very much, and also we still see that exclusive breastfeeding maintains its protective relationship compared to those who are exclusively formula fed in the first 4 months. So as I mentioned, we found that there was a significant interaction between race ethnicity and infant feeding patterns. And when we then stratified our analyses, we find that the protective effect is only significant within whites. Now, just to discuss some of the contributions that these analyses bring to the literature, we are in this analysis supporting Burdett and Cohen, who have found that introduction of complementary feeding does not appear to be attenuating the effect of breastfeeding and obesity. And then this interesting interaction between race, ethnicity, race and ethnicity in U.S. studies has been shown before, only actually in low-income data sets. So it's interesting that also in ECLSB, where we have a nationally representative data set, we also are seeing this relationship. So Gummerstrahn and Maya have shown that there's a protective relationship is seen in non-Hispanic white children, but not in African-American and Hispanics. And Bogan also saw, using a WIC data set, again, low-income population, that the protective relationship is only in white children whose mothers did not smoke and were either breastfed exclusively for 16 weeks and or mixed feeding for at least 26 weeks. So the strengths of this analysis are that it's a recent cohort reflecting current infant and complementary feeding practices in the United States. Infant feeding is prospectively recorded, and we have an oversampling in the data set of race and ethnicity, which allows us to have pretty strong confidence in our stratified analyses. We're also able to control for complementary and early childhood nutrition and screen time behaviors, which aren't available in many of the reports that we've seen already published. The limitations, of course, are that the measures of preschool nutrition and screen time are only proxies for behavior. A complete dietary recall wasn't collected as we would hope, and definitely we would hope that that would be done in future studies. And in conclusion, using the nationally representative estimates, we see that this protective association between exclusive breastfeeding and obesity remains significant in white children even after controlling for the demographic factors of interest, introduction of complementary foods, and early childhood nutrition and sedentary habits. And we suggest that further research looks more in depth at infant feeding patterns and possibly how the maternal-child feeding interaction may be different within different race ethnicities. Possibly whites may be less responsive to infant satiety cues, maybe insisting that some have posited that maybe white mothers may insist more strongly that the infant finish any prepared formula. Also, there may be prenatal exposures that overpower any protective relationship in African Americans or Hispanics. We really don't know. But we do know that there's only one answer to preventing obesity, and this data set also kind of shows that. So thank you for your time. If you have any questions, I can take them now, but I also just wanted to thank my co-authors, Catherine Henderson and Tanya Andrieva at the Rudd Center and Katya Castavon at the Nutrition Epidemiology Surveillance Unit in France, and the Rudd Center for their support. Thank you.
Take questions now? Or?
Yes, we can take a few questions now. Are there any burning questions?
Yep.
Yes, when you gave the potential reasons that breastfeeding might be associated with the lower obesity rate, I was surprised you didn't include the one I've always assumed was partly responsible, and that was the fact that the breast milk changes during the feed and formula doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I sort of visualize it that the formula fed infant has to get all the other signals.
Just keep that in mind.
Uh-huh. And then when you talked about why would you see the supplementation, rather the effects that differ by race, mm-hmm. I would wonder whether the introduction of solids was an issue because that may override the controls that breastfeeding provides by not taking in excess. Mm-hmm. And you had shown that 58% used other foods before 4 months.
Correct.
You didn't tell us how many between 4 and 6 months, and it may be that, you know, physiologically breastfeeding was meant to go on very long, and we don't even ask people to introduce before 6 months if they were not to.
Right.
So, I mean, it might have been a large portion of the population that was introducing other foods before 6 months, and therefore not having the full opportunity for the child to get that regulation that breast milk.
I'm trying to remember if the, it's definitely something we can look into further. I haven't done a full profile of all of the factors that are significant after controlling. So, no, that's.
If that turned out to be a factor that was predicted, it may support the idea that it is actually the breastfeeding process is necessary for getting the infant to regulate the intake.
No, that's a good point. Anything else? Yes.
As I understood, your stratified analysis was done on the full model control for everything.
Correct.
Did you have any effects prior to that stratification? Were there any crude effects in African Americans or Hispanics?
Only in Hispanics in the mixed feeding group. That was the only thing that was significant, which went away after controlling. Yep. So unadjusted, only Hispanics in the mixed group. I didn't, no.
Because okay, I'm wondering if some of your race effect is propelled by that, because okay. Such a disproportionate number of people, some of the Gulf states, like Mississippi and Louisiana, have a very high number of African Americans. They also have a lot of rural area, a lot less breastfeeding support, so on and so
right.
forth. And I'm wondering if some of the race effects may be, it's hard to disentangle the race and geography, but there might be a lot of overlap there.
No, these are all great points. No, thank you.